coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who, unlike Chrissy, did tell his kids that they were jerks.
But it was only one time, and they really weren't.
Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And we've got a fun episode here today, as I am back in the studio for this week's interview show. We're going to be talking with the great Teresa T-Bird Cooper, a favorite guest of mine to have here on the show, and we're going to catch up with her. So looking forward to hearing what she has to say about everything from this very exciting episode of the show. I had mentioned back in the studio, of course, that we had our big know-it-alls in Austin, and many rave reviews have been pouring in about that show and the panel that we had, especially Colby Donaldson, who really ended up spending a lot of time with us there that night and telling a lot of war stories. And I think that people were just, kind of mesmerized, like, oh my God, can't believe Colby Donaldson is here. And Colby just seemed really appreciative to be there with us. So that was really great. You know, plus all of the other guests that were on our panel. Really fun show. If you missed any of that, you can listen to or watch the video on our YouTube channel. Of course, I had my exit interview with Lauren Rimmer as well, which is up on robhasawebsite.com. We've got our feedback show coming up on the weekend with the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cesternino. If you have a feedback question and you are listening to this before Saturday at like 9 Eastern, you can still get your feedback questions into the show. robhasawebsite.com/feedback, 323-282-RHAP, or email survivor@robhasawebsite.com. Before we get to T-Bird, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor, and those are friends over at Omaha Steaks. And boy, we were in Texas. We had some great barbecue. Stephen Fishback, myself, and Dalton Ross went out and had some lots of meat and Texas barbecue. You could be doing the same in the comfort of your own home, either you or whoever you send Omaha Steaks to. And they will be very appreciative, because Omaha Steaks is the perfect gift for anyone who has it all. Because when you said Omaha Steaks, you could avoid all of the traffic and the mall and the crowds. I've gotten Omaha Steaks as a gift. My uncle actually sent it to me last year, and I sent it to my brother for a gift last year. Always a crowd pleaser. And Omaha Steaks has a great offer for you guys. For $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the promo code Rob in the search bar. It's a 75% off offer. Omaha Steaks has unique gifts for gourmet food lovers, over 500 gift ideas, the most flavorful tender aged beef plus seafood, poultry, pork, veal, or lamb aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed, vacuum-sealed, online recipes, wine pairings, and more. Right now, Omaha Steaks has an exclusive savings just for the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Listen to everything that you get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus get four additional kielbasa sausages free. And then you could also like attach the note, so then you could also be like Jeff Probst, and then you get love. Also, go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code Rob in the search bar, get 75% off savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our guest today. That this is a person that I've known for quite some time, and I don't need to throw a number out there, because neither of us promised you to know how long it's been. But
no, we don't.
No, we, no, don't. We don't. No, we don't. Don't. But
no, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't.
She is a superstar from way back when on Survivor, and was a robbed goddess in Survivor Second Chance. Please welcome back the great Teresa T-Bird Cooper. T-Bird, how are you?
Hey, Rob, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. And you couldn't have got me on a better, better episode than this one, because to start it out with the family thing, I mean, if that doesn't grab at your heartstrings, then nothing will. And then to finish it with the tribal council that we had last night, this is epic. I'm not quite sure what epic means, but I think
you don't know what epic means.
I think it's it. Well, I didn't. Well, I actually know what it means, but it's used so much that I thought I'd throw it out there. This is going to be epic.
T-Bird, is this something that the survivors from your season talk about, that you guys didn't get a real loved ones visit, where if you really were on almost any other season, you get as far as Final Five like you did, and you have a loved one come out there and see you? Is that something that you've talked about with other people from your season?
No, I don't remember talking about that with anybody, really, because, I mean, Africa was so far away, and we had to jump through hoops to go with all the shots. So I think, I mean, we kind of understood, you know, about that. But it's so funny because even now, when I watched the other day when they were getting their letters, because, you know, we got letters. And when you're out there in those circumstances and away from home for, you know, over a month, when you hear the players say that they one of them said they opened it and they saw, you know, just the handwriting of their loved one, and they just started crying from that, it gets me every time, Rob, because I do the same thing, because I just remember opening my letter and seeing my dad's handwriting, and it still brings tears to me even 17 years later. It brings tears to me thinking back, just seeing his handwriting, what that meant. So I cannot even imagine standing there on the island and Probst is talking each one through and just anticipating watching your loved one come around the corner. It's again, I watched the show last night several times, you know, knowing that you and I were going to talk. And every time I watched it, tears every time would well up watching every single one of them come out. I love it. It's fantastic, and it's real. Even you see with all the guys how real the emotions are. It was, you know, every one of the, you know, loved ones coming out meant something to me, every single one. So, you know, what? How do you feel about it? I mean, did any of these loved ones coming out grab you more than the others?
Well, you know, I really liked the moment. I like Dr. Mike and his wife, because that
Barry,
moment of yeah, Barry, them being, and I really like the line that Lauren said of like, you have no idea what it's like to live with him, or she says, I can't wait to see the woman that puts up with him. I think that was the line that she said. And that was before he threw her idol in the fire. But to me, T-Bird, I'm reminded very much of when my mom came out to see me in Survivor, the Amazon. My mom, you know, it's very emotional for her. Whenever the loved ones episode is on, she always like sends me a text or mentions to me about how, you know, she still remembers that they were like hiding in the bushes, and then we didn't know that they were there. And so, you know, that was like a really big thrill. But, you know, the Dr. Mike thing to me, for me, I think it would be, you know, I was very excited to see my mom, but I do ever think about, like, you know, not that I like spend a lot of time thinking about if I was ever to play again, but I feel I think about, like, what would that moment be if I was back out there? And then my wife, the lovely first lady of podcasting, Nicole Sesternino.
If she
came out there, I think that it would be like, I think that I would really melt there. And I think in the same way that you saw Ben talk about, you know, okay, well, how are the kids? How is everything? Tell me everything that's going on. You know, I really feel like that, you know, and you see it with, you know, a parent and a child, they have that bond. But I just feel like that would be, you know, I would melt, you know, if I was separated from my wife for that long. And then, you know, she had come all the way out there, and then I got to see her for the first time.
Yeah. And then let me tell you this too, Rob, as your boys get older, because I thought it was very emotional. And as your boys get older and you imagine, you know, one of your sons out there playing and you coming out there to see him, just, I mean, the moment when Ryan was holding his dad and crying like a little bitty baby, and just telling him, I told you I'd get you here. And the bond that they had watching Survivor together, and going over the play-by-plays that they do, watching the show together, and Ryan saying, this is the best moment of my life. That is strong stuff for me. And I mean, and again, when your boys are older, I can see where you say that about Nicole and how special that would be. But then again, your children as well. I mean, they were all very strong moments. And even, and I guess I reference again another, the mother and son with Devin, because he looked at his mom, and of course he was it was beautiful. He looked at her and he said, you look beautiful. And I thought that was just so classic for him to say that to his mom. And you knew he meant it. And then he said something like, you know, a day away from family is a day wasted. And I thought, wow, that is some strong stuff coming from a kid like that, who has already, Devin's won my heart and probably, you know, most everybody's at this point. So, you know, again, every one of the visits from everybody was really, really neat.
Well, let's talk about the family visit since we're here. And we had this challenge where you had to pull that rock out of a bag. Did you like how they did that challenge, T-Bird? Because it was really 100% luck.
It was luck. It was okay. Okay, it was kind of a little uneventful, I guess, because they just were kind of standing there pulling. But, you know, I mean, I guess maybe I would have liked to have seen them, you know, have some rope tied around their, you know, ankles and racing together or doing stuff like that. I mean, other than just standing there pulling out a marble. But again, as far as the, you know, the loved ones and them being there together, I'm sure it was just as neat as ever. But I guess I kind of wanted to see something. I wanted to see something happen.
Yeah, Jeff Probst talked to Dalton Ross about this in his weekly column. And Dalton Ross was, you know, asking about that challenge and what was going on. Steven was very critical of it on the Know It Alls. And Jeff said, well, we wanted to do something with the family members, but, you know, we have a lot of stuff to show in every episode, so we didn't want to spend a lot of time on the actual challenge. So this would be like a quicker way to get the family members competing, but it wasn't going to eat up as much screen time.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Absolutely, I can see it. But it just, I mean, the reactions of seeing the loved ones come out is so strong and so powerful. So, but then after just watching them kind of standing there, grabbing out a black marble, a white marble, a black marble, a white, I don't know. I guess I was wanting to see a little bit more, but again, I can see, you know, and then also you got to look at this. I mean, you've got different ages of people coming out, from the dads to the moms to the wife, and you don't know what their health situation is like, because, you know, they've got to take that into account. Got to take into account the players had their first person on their list to come out there. So if you try to come up with a challenge that's going to be fair for all the loved ones to actually participate in, then that's something else you got to look at too. So I don't know. I wouldn't put too much stock into saying it was, you know, it wasn't the best they could do, but I can see why they went that way.
T-Bird, I want to get your take on Chrissy from that challenge. And she had her husband come out there and she was, you know, talking about how much it meant to see him. She talked about the idea about how when she comes back, she has spent so much time working in her life that she was going to come back and she was going to basically devote all of her time to her family. I just was interested to get your take on that idea and then Chrissy in general.
Okay, so I see a lot of myself in Chrissy. I've liked Chrissy from the very start, and probably more as the seasons progress, because she's such a strong player. I mean, she wants it very, very badly. You can tell. I mean, and she said several times that she's wanted this to happen for, you know, the last 16 years. She's wanted this dream to be able to go out there and play. So I can relate to that, because when she started wanting to play is when I got to play. And I remember the same thing when I was out there. I told Mama Kim toward the end that if I haven't learned anything from being out here, I've learned that when everything is taken away from you and everything's gone, the only thing that matters is family. That's it. And I was in the exact same situation where I said, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to work as much. I was flying. I was doing real estate. I was doing, my kids were young, five and seven. Or 5 and 8. So I remember saying the exact same thing. So again, I can relate to her in so many ways. So, yeah. Anyway, I liked it.
So when you got back from Survivor after you played, did you make those changes? Because I do feel like that when you're out there on Survivor, you're everything's like, oh my God, my life, everything makes so much sense now. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
That's right. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but then okay, that wears off, I feel.
Get back home. Yep. I got back home and went right back to what I was doing. Okay. Kind of. Yeah, I kind of did.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of, you go back and, but I remember, yeah, you kind of go back and within the first few weeks, you kind of fall back into whatever that routine was you were in. But I'll tell you this, I do remember learning, if everybody says, what was the one, your big takeaway from being out there? You know, what did you learn about yourself? And I did learn that when everything, and I guess we pretty much already know this, but when you actually go through it, when everything's taken away from you, everything, the only thing that matters is your family. And what I think about that now, that if I was to lose everything I had, as long as I've got my family, then we could start over and rebuild, because that is all that matters. And that I took away, and that is still instilled in me 100% just from actually going through it. I'm sure you've got to feel the same way too, you know, playing twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though you did not have your children, you didn't have your boys then.
No.
You know, it's still, you know, you can imagine now how you feel going out there.
Right. I do think that that's a interesting distinction that you make about the person who, you know, you sort of like have like your parents is, you know, that's it's one thing when you're sort of like the younger person playing. But then as you're somebody with a family, you know, it does sort of change the priorities for you. And I do think that that's one of the fascinating things about Survivor as well, in that this game, because I myself have said, oh, why not give them more food? Why not give them more water? Who cares? But I do think that from the perspective of getting you into that state of lack of having nothing except for who you are as a person, I do feel like that draws that out on the television show.
Why not? I mean, hey, as long as you're, I mean, forget about the food and water. As long as I keep throwing those idols out there, what is that all about? You know what, Rob, we have talked in the past, and I remember saying, you know, if I got to play now, you know, with just a through, you know, a few idols being thrown here and there, but now the players are so sick of it. What, they're just throwing them in the fire now. Mike just got his, and he's like, he tossed in the fire. And then I'm thinking, I'm also amazed. So to me, these idols have gotten out of hand. I mm-hmm. just think it's too much. It's just too much. I mean, I like the idea too. And I like the idea of, I like when they do these reward challenges, because I remember, you know, when we were playing, that these reward challenges are really kind of hurtful to you as a player if you get to do them a lot of times, because once you're taken away from the group, then everybody else has time to think about not only are you on this amazing reward challenge, but what they can do to kind of move you out of there. So I think that in itself is enough. But then all these idols being thrown, you know, having a few of them, but, you know, they've got them now. To me, this is the island of the lost idols. Mm-hmm. You can find them, or you can make them. And where are they getting all these supplies to make these idols with?
Well, I don't
remember
where I read this. I think this must have been something I absorbed on Twitter, that somebody had said to me, this is a Survivor hot take, that Survivor production is leaving out more raw materials for the survivors with the hope that more fake idols are being made. So you do have a lot of real idols and fake idols. But T-Bird, as somebody who was in a situation like you were, a real hopeless, dire situation when you got down to just you as the only Samburu person left, couldn't you have used an immunity idol or even a fake one?
Oh, absolutely. That's all. I'm not saying don't have any.
Yeah.
I'm just saying limit them to, like, you know, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're like colored Easter eggs. You know, Lauren was walking down, oh, there's one. And then they tell everybody. Now, I can tell you this right now, Rob, from playing, because I kept everything close to the chest.
I know.
Everything. And that's what, in my opinion, that's what you have to do. And that's what Ben does. And we'll get on Ben later.
No, well, let's talk about you. Let's talk about you, and let's talk about secrets, because this is a great jumping off point to get into all of the drama that unfolded in this episode.
Okay.
Let me give you a question. This is from Chris Hickey, who says, secrets seem to be a very large theme for this season. We noticed last night the effects of not knowing a secret. How were you able to keep a secret from Lex that you voted against him for? for so long, way back when. And let me just reset this for anybody who maybe does not have the great memory with everything else that's going on in their lives from Survivor Africa. But at the merge, that you had made a deal with Clarence in the immunity challenge that you would not vote him out. And so he was voting for Lex. You put your vote onto Lex as well. And stop me if I'm getting anything wrong. And at this point in Survivor history, a vote against somebody counted in the tiebreaker where there was no like, let's go to rocks that hadn't been invented yet. Whoever had more votes against them, that was how they ended up breaking this tie. And Lex was very upset about this. And then he went around asking everybody who was the person that voted for him. And of course,
it was me.
Yes, it was you, T-Bird.
Why? Okay. First off, before we even got to that point, Frank and I were really, really close. And I trusted Frank as much as I trusted anybody. But even right before we went to tribal, Frank said, who are we going to vote for? What are we going to do? I said, Frank, do what everybody says they're doing. Just follow what everybody said. We'll just do that. Because even I thought, the game changes every minute. And especially now it changes every minute. So you can tell somebody a secret. And if their game changes in the next day or two or three, then that secret is going to be divulged. That's going to mess your game up. So I didn't even tell Frank that I was voting for Lex. I just knew that I promised Clarence and I was not going back on my word, but I wasn't about to mess up, it getting out any other way than me letting it out when I wanted it out. So, how did I keep that secret? Well, it was easy. When I saw what Lex was doing, and he actually came to me probably last, and he asked me about it. He didn't really ask me about it. He really was just talking it through with me. While he was saying, he was trying to figure out what happened, and I know you wouldn't do that, T-Bird. So since he never asked me, I just kind of smiled like, So if he had actually have asked me, I don't know. If I had answered, then that would have been the end of it. And then I was out there to play as well. So I just used it. I just let it be known when it was time, when it was important to let it be known. But Lex was a huge threat, and Lex was the one running the show. So, in my opinion, Lex was the one keeping me from getting to the very end. And I knew early on I had to do something about that. And why nobody else could see that at the time, they couldn't. But so that's how that went down.
And you kept that a secret up until that you had your Hail Mary at the Final Five, where then you were the one that ended up sharing the secret. So really, the secret that you keep to yourself has, a great twofold use, where one, it keeps you safe. You get to keep the secret, and then there's paranoia that gets created from that. And then two, you were able to then reveal the secret when you wanted to and for your purposes.
Well, doesn't that make the most sense that you would do that? I mean, it seems like everybody's just showing their hand right away. And even, I don't get that at all. It seems like this season, everybody has shared all of that except for, am I wrong about this? Is Ben the only one that has not shared that he had an idol?
Yeah, that was what Jeff said at the end of the tribal council, where he said, hey, everybody knew everybody else's secrets. And the one thing that ultimately ended up having the most power was the one thing that was a secret. And that was Ben's idol.
And you know what? Ben is, he's such a fierce, fierce player. So you look at it and you want to say, how can Ben not be the next to go? But I'm telling you, don't bet against Ben. Don't even think about that against Ben, because I got a feeling Ben's going to be really easy. I mean, even though I know he's revealed everybody's secrets, he's consistent. So he's consistent with that. He's extremely strategic. He really does. He has no loyalty. So basically, if he can get in the final three, he can make a really, really good argument for winning, that he played the whole way through with everybody. And And again, I think what'll happen next week is Ben needs to do a really good job of convincing some of the others. Like, he needs to convince Chrissy and Ashley and Ryan that they need to get rid of Devin or Mike, or probably Devin or Mike may be one of the ones that's going to take it if they don't mix things up. And I think Ben is just the one to convince the others, because basically from where Ben's sitting, you can see where people might think he may not get the vote. But I think if Ben's sitting in the final three with maybe a Chrissy and maybe with Ryan, then he can definitely convince the others why he not even needs the money, wants the money, but also deserves it.
Now, he definitely looks like that he would win if he gets to that final three. I feel like that's not even a question at this point. But for me, the question is going to be, how does he get past this next vote, that 6 and 5 and 4, ultimately to get to 3? I think that's going to be the hardest part for him.
Well, apparently you've forgotten what we were talking about earlier, about this is the land of the idols.
Yes, yeah, so you feel like that he has a path with idols and potentially immunity.
Well, I mean, I know we've only got a couple of shows left. Do you think they're going to introduce more idols at this point?
Well, yeah, T-Bird, everything is gone now. We lost it all in that episode where Lauren's advantage got, half of it got thrown in the fire, the other half left with her. Her secret vote advantage, her extra vote, ended up leaving with her, and Ben played his idol. So all of the idols and advantages that were left in the game, they're all gone.
Well, how do we not know they're going to throw some more out there?
Well, I think they will. I think that now, especially that it's been played, I would be very surprised if we didn't have at least one idol hidden back into the game.
It's got to happen.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. I mean, it's got to happen. And again, you know, Ben is so good at convincing people, and he keeps everything, like I said, so close to the chest that I think even though it looks like Ben would be the next one to go, I'm not betting against him at all. I think he's going to pull something crazy out, and it's going to be exciting because, I mean, we're playing. I'm really impressed with these last six that we've got. They're all really, really strong, competitive players, even though they play differently. And you know what, Rob? I remember when I played, you know, I can tell you probably of our group, and you tell me the same for you, out of our group, how many people really, really wanted it so badly or were just happy to be out there just to say they played? I can tell you probably about half the people out there were just happy to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then the other half of us, nothing other than winning would have been enough. Mm-hmm. But now with this group of six, they don't want to just be there. They want to win. And I love that, the competitive side, and they're all assertive. And again, I could give you great reasons for each one of them, why I would vote for each one of them. So it's just going to, you know, we're just going to have to see what final three are actually sitting there. But I think at this point, I mean, anything can happen.
No, but I think you're right about that in terms of people that are playing hard and really want to win, because I do feel like that, you know, back in the, you know, first couple of seasons, that you had people who really loved the idea of the game, especially after they had seen it once or twice and wanted to be out there and was so excited to go play the game and play hard and try to win. But I do think that you had people that were out there also of like, oh, okay, well, I'll do this because I'll be famous if I go on the show. Now, who's going on Survivor so that they can be famous?
Well, no, but you know what I've heard people say also? I've heard people say, like, with Africa, oh, well, they got to go tour around the whole, go around Africa and see all this stuff. And I thought, and I said, I didn't want to do that.
No.
What I tell people, I left two very small children, a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, my husband. And when I left here, it was a business trip. It wasn't a pleasure trip. It was a business trip. And again, I think now you see that more than you've ever seen it in the early days, where, like I said, half the people may have been there to really, really play, and then the other half were there just to, you know, get out of the house.
I'll be an actor now because I was on Survivor.
Or that, yeah. So, you know, but again, the ones that are out here, and you know what is so funny, too? You remember Brandon from
Yes.
Africa?
Yes.
I talked to Brandon last week. I had a question for him.
How's he doing?
He's doing really well. He's doing well. And we got on the subject, and he said, you know, he played in his 20s. And he said if he were to play now, and he would be in his 40s, which is the age I was when I played in Africa. He said he would play completely, totally differently than he played. Now, for me, I played in my 40s, and I'm a little older than that now. I would not play any different. I mean, I would play just as hard, just as everything. I may tweak a few things depending on who I'm playing with.
Yeah.
But so as a younger player, I wonder how many of these younger players, you know, like Devin and Ashley and Ryan that are still in, would they play differently? And I'm thinking right now, I can't really see how they would play much differently. They can't be ashamed of their gameplay at this point, because they're playing great games. I mean, you still got to play toward what your personality dictates, the kind of person you are. You can't change up everything. But, you know, like I said, even the young kids now are playing like, you know, they're there to win.
This is an interesting point, T-Bird, because that was such a big part of the early game in Survivor Africa, was this age divide of, hey, we're the young people. We don't want to work all day. Why is Frank being such a taskmaster of telling us what to do? And then you had the older people who wanted to work hard. And now all those people that were like the young people, like Kim and Lindsay and Silas, that they would be, you know, the ages you guys were when you guys were the people who were giving them tasks to do.
Yep.
Do you feel like that there is sort of like a point where the younger person ends up changing the way that they would play Survivor? Would that be interesting to see a bunch of people who were sort of, and again, this is sort of like the Millennials versus Gen X idea, and then we'll bring in a bunch of new Millennials to play with those people?
God, you know what? This is what I was thinking. I know what you're asking me, but I think, for example, Kim Powers. Kim Powers is not a lazy person at all. But because she, and Silas was not a lazy person. But when the four got together, or the five got together, four or five, when they were so feeling so cocky and feeling so good about things, they kind of just laid back and took it easy. So I think what makes more of a difference is not the age that you are. It's just the group that you kind of start to bond mm-hmm. with, and you kind of start doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because if I had gotten, you know, if Kim Powers had gotten in with us, or Silas had gotten in with us, you know, it would have, they wouldn't have been just laying around doing nothing, because that's not how they are. Even in their, it's not how they were in their 20s. They just happened to get in that group where that's just kind of what they fell into,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense. So, you know, it's kind of like if you're not, you might not consider yourself a leader too much, but if you get out there and nobody else is taking that role, you either take it or you kind of fall back and do what everybody else is doing. I don't know. I just think, I mean, every season's different. If you played every single season, Rob, you'd play a little bit differently based on who you're out there with. Mm. You just would. It depended on what the circumstances dictated. It's kind of hard to say.
T-Bird, let's talk about the woman who was voted out this week in Lauren. What was your opinion of Lauren this season?
Oh, God. Okay, so this is so interesting. So I was watching it the first, you know, couple of, you know, first few episodes, and it seems like it was like the third episode they showed her sitting something. I'm like, who is that? The third episode, I didn't even remember seeing her or hearing her talk at all. So my point is she did fantastic. Talk about kind of, you know, going from 0 to 100. I loved her. She was, you know, blunt, straightforward, and turned out to be very strategic. And she seemed to have, I thought she ended up having a level head on her shoulders. And that's why I kept wondering. I know Chrissy and Ben don't have much love lost between the two of them, but I kind of wondered last night, and I thought about this, why Chrissy did not want Ben to go. She kept saying she wanted Lauren to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Lauren had the idol and half advantage and a triple da-da-da, whatever, all that stuff she had. But you would think, as much as she disliked Ben, but she was still after Lauren. And I started thinking, if Lauren had gotten to the end, I think she'd have had a really, really, really good shot, because she did. She has played such a good level-headed game. I think very respectful game. So,
yeah.
But I liked her. I ended up liking her a lot, and you know, seeing Sunny come out there. Hey, if nothing else, even though we lost Lauren last night, I got a feeling Lauren and Sunny would be perfect for Blood versus Water.
Yeah.
So we might see her again. Let's just don't, you know, and of course Sunny's already in good with Probst, you know, with the big bear hug. So who knows? Anything can happen there.
Yeah. No, Lauren, definitely was a surprise. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so she really surprised me, but she came out of it, like I said, you know, last night or a few nights ago when she got voted out, you know, I really hated to see her go, because I really had ended up really, really liking her a lot. She was a good, she turned out to be a really good player. The others were smart to get her out. Definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, having her sitting in the end.
Well, it would be one thing to say that they were smart to get her out, but they actually had nothing to do with it. It was only that Ben put one vote on her.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But I know that Chrissy really wanted to get her out.
Mm-hmm.
So was that just, I mean, was that because she did have an idol and the advantage that, what she said, she left it back at camp?
Yeah.
What
so I talked
is
to her.
In
the, well, she was lying. She was lying about that, because I asked her in the exit interview that I did with her. I said, okay. Lauren, was that for real? She said, no, that was, I was just, you know, telling them a story and then I had to stick with that. So, but you're right. Chrissy was pushing for Lauren to go home, even though she did ultimately vote with Ben. This was something that we were trying to figure out, because, you know, we saw everything that happened in the episode where Chrissy was so upset with Ben, but then it seemed like she didn't want him to go potentially. And it's hard to say, because we don't know what's a smokescreen at Tribal Council and what potentially is authentic. But when you have a player like Chrissy with Ben, who had been allies from, you know, way back when, and then they get into a little bit of a major tiff, then is it easier to get back together, or is it because the trust was broken once that then it's harder for those two players to get back on the same page?
It would be hard for me, because I can see that Ben's playing it, you know, as it changes, he changes with it, which is kind of what you have to do. But so you really don't want to put a whole bunch of stock into it. Even that last conversation that Chrissy and Ben had, when he said, you know, let's pull together, and she said, okay, thank you. And then her next confessional, she said, I just don't know if I can trust him. Well, she knows she can't trust him, but I guess sometimes you have to kind of go with what you got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all she had, she'd have to go with it. But no, I mean, somebody like Ben is really dangerous, because he really, his only loyalties is to his own gameplay. And, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you've got to look towards your end, you know, the end game, as far as trying to get the votes at the end. But, again, Ben has been consistent with everybody. So I think that will be in his favor if he makes it to the end.
Yeah, and she may not trust Ben, but she has no reason to believe that Lauren wants to work with her on any level. So if it's between Lauren or Ben, I think even though she was mad at Ben, at least Ben is coming to her and saying, like, hey, I have a plan. We can work together. Whereas we saw last week when Chrissy tried to go and talk to Lauren, Lauren was like, now you're talking to me?
No. Yeah, Lauren had already pretty much, I think, made it clear, because, again, Lauren's very blunt. And I think with Lauren, you know what you're getting. And she pretty much made it clear that Chrissy hadn't paid her a bit of attention the whole time. So I think Chrissy knew she was probably better off trying to get back in with Ben than Lauren, because Lauren was, her wall was up.
Can you talk a little bit more about Chrissy? I know you said that you were a fan of hers, but that is not a universal reaction to Chrissy so far this season. Why do you feel like there's been a disconnect between Chrissy and some of the people she's played with and even the fans?
You know what? I happened to ask somebody that question because she's played such a hard game, and it's, you know, you hear how, you know, people consider if a man works really hard or wants something and goes after it, but if a woman does the same thing, then she's kind of looked at in a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that kind of comes to my mind, because again, I asked the same Survivor fan, why has Chrissy gotten such a bad rap with people? And I think the way she reacted to her, to the blind side, and that's another thing that's so hard to do, is like Ryan, when him and Chrissy were blindsided, Ryan was pretty humble and said, hey, you know, good play, you got us. And where Chrissy didn't react that way. And maybe going back, if she would have reacted a little, maybe like Ryan did, but you know, she can't help it. She's playing with her emotions, and she's reacting just the way she's thinking inside. So you can't blame her for that. But it seems like a lot of people, and I guess they haven't liked, they didn't like her and Ryan too, because I guess they felt like they were on a little bit of a power trip while they were on top.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think has, you know, took away from maybe people liking her a little bit. But my gosh, I mean, she's played a very strong, passionate game. I think it's been respectable. I think she's been pretty honest.
Yeah.
And I guess people just, you know, you would think they would appreciate that more than somebody that's coming and, you know, not playing a straight up game. So I really am confused why she's getting such a strong rap from fans. I mean, what do you think about it?
You know, it's been a question that we've talked about all season long, and I don't know if people are sick of talking about it, but there's so many different theories about it. And you know that there's the one theory that's like, well, because she doesn't come across as sweet, that's something, you know, that she really rubs people the wrong way. But I mean, there's lots of words you could use to describe Lauren, who people love this season, and she was just, you know, tough as nails, and I think people really admire that about her. But I think where Chrissy ends up having problems is she comes across as that she is trying to seem nice to everybody, but,
yeah,
you know, she's actually a really tough customer. And I think that people are reading that as a little bit phony.
Well, I guess, you know, and Rob, it depends on where you're sitting and how you're looking at it. I mean, I was a more mature woman when I played. Basically, I was Chrissy's age when I played.
Yeah, and you were also a tough customer, but nobody ever had a crossword to say about you the entire season or since, T-Bird.
Well, but Rob, so I guess from where when I look at these players and I watch these players, I think the ones that we can identify with ourselves are the ones that we respect or like or gravitate towards because they remind us of ourselves. So.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, you know, I played, again, the same age as her, and I see how hard she's playing and how badly she wants it. It's hard for me to see what maybe a younger person or, you know, or a male or somebody else may see that's not relating to her. So that's probably why it's hard for me really to see that. That's mm-hmm. why I ask the people, what is it about Chrissy that people just don't seem to be connecting with?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like her. I like everybody, Rob. You know,
you like everybody. You said, well, that's you. That, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday because I was flying home from Austin and I knew that I was going to be talking to you today. And I was just thinking about your line of work as being a flight attendant. And you've done that for some time and are still doing that, correct?
Correct. I've been doing it for 37 years.
37 years. And that is a job that I was thinking about this yesterday, that I feel like that might be the perfect job to prepare you for going to Go Beyond Survivor. And you have Todd Herzog, who also had that profession at the time before he played, and he went on to win the game because
yep.
you are dealing with so many people and it's their worst day and
yep.
they can be horrible. And
yep.
you have to still, you know, be professional and, you know, carry yourself in a certain way and also, you know, act in a way that people are going to hopefully, you know, be treating you with respect. I feel like that is, you know, you're dealing with a lot of conflict as well, right?
Rob, it absolutely makes total sense but what you forget, yes, everything you just said, absolutely 100% yes. I mean, you're in a small little environment. What you have with you is what you have with you. You can't go out and get anything else. You just have to make do with what you have for whatever. And I fly international. So I'm on a flight for 10 plus hours with all kind of, you know, whatever could happen, medical emergencies, all kind. And you only have what you have to be able to work with. And you can't let, if you're tired, if you're upset, you just kind of got to keep it to yourself. You just got to play the game. So absolutely it helps for Survivor because, again, if you're out there and you're showing your emotions, I think that's what hurts people when they, you know, aren't able to just kind of let things roll off their back. But I'm telling you also, not just the passengers, but when you have a crew, you know, you have a crew of 10 or 11 people, almost the size of your little Survivor group, you're working with different personalities, mm-hmm. different this, different that you have to get along with and you have to play pretty with to get the job done. So it is very similar. Of course, you know, you're hopefully not on an airplane for 36 days, but it's the same. It's very, very similar.
Yeah. No, I think that is a really great job to, you know, give people experience for something like that. Like anything where you're dealing with the public on a regular basis and there's all these little circumstances that pop up that you have to deal with. I just think that's a great way to prepare you for what Survivor's actually like.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I would think like nurses, I would think a nurse as well would be, you know, the same thing. They're dealing with situations, they're dealing with the families and they've got to keep their emotions intact. And, you know, a lot of, to me, is little, the service industry, definitely, you know, that's what, of course, Ryan's in the service industry. Isn't he a bellhop?
Mm-hmm.
I love that kid, by the way.
Yeah. What is it you like so much about him?
Well, first and foremost, when I first started looking at the bios at the very beginning, he reminds me of one of my kids' friends that Ellie grew up with. And so right away, I love this kid because Ryan looks like him. So it makes me right away gravitate toward Ryan. And with him being so young and I don't know, I just from the beginning, just look reading his bio, just thought, I like this kid. You know, he's hung in there and you know, watching him and his dad, you know, with the family visits and, you know, he says cute things every now and then. What did he say that what I thought was so cute about, you know, being fooled by two surfers?
Yeah, two 25-year-old surfers.
How cute is that? What, he's like, he's 23. He's just, he's cute. And you know what? I hope he's going to do well. He's in the final six. I don't know if he's made enough of the big moves to get the vote. If there's two others sitting with, you know, with him, I'm looking at these other five that he could be sitting with, but I really like him. Again, I don't know as far as the big moves, if he's done enough, but I'll tell you, he's been on the bottom for a while and it seems like he's hanging in.
Yeah, he sort of has had a quiet game to me in the post-merge where he was really, I felt like a more of a contender in the pre-merge. But then I think he hasn't had a lot of big moments outside of him finding the idol since we've gotten to the post-merge. And I almost feel like that he's kind of like a forgotten player in this season. Do you feel like that there is a path for him to get to the end and even win?
I'm looking at these other players and, you know, I'm trying to match him up. I mean, I like him so much, but with these other five, it looks like, I mean, any scenario you want to give me, if he's sitting with, say, him, Chrissy, and Mike get there, I think, you know, Mike would be stronger, and then Chrissy, and then Ryan.
I feel like these guys really like Dr. Mike. I feel like Mike, Chrissy, and Ryan, I feel like Mike would get the votes.
Mike, Chrissy, Ryan, Mike. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Because Mike's been on the bottom too. He's extremely likable. He's quirky. He's everything you love about him. Now, the only thing, which is crazy, this is crazy, but I have heard this. I heard this when I was playing and I thought to myself, that shouldn't matter. But I hear people say, well, he doesn't need the money.
Oh.
Doesn't need the money.
Yes.
And I think to myself, that this game, for me, this game was all about the title. Now, don't get me wrong. I could have used the money back there in the day, you know, raising my two kids. But it was always about the title. So when I hear people say they don't need the money, I'm like thinking that has that should have nothing to do with it. But
yes.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because that you played with a doctor in Dr. Carl back in Survivor Africa, and that was an argument that was used against him. Now, remember,
yep.
he was what yep. was he talking about? His what does he have? A Lamborghini or a Ferrari?
Oh gosh, he had. You know what? Bless his heart, I love him to pieces. Do you know he showed up with? do you know?
No.
God love him. He showed up at the airport with Louis Vuitton. All, and I mean, this is before I even knew what LV was. But I knew it, you know, they were saying, did you see his luggage? He had those big steamed, you know, those big, big things. All he had, all Louis Vuitton luggage. And it was actually the kids, I call them the kids, that were saying, and he was talking about these cars and all this stuff. And so it was always the kids saying, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the money. And I remember thinking back then, well, good for me because they've already singled him out, but they don't want him to win because he doesn't need the money. But I've heard it since then for people playing. So mm-hmm. you figure, getting back on what we're saying, you figure if he's playing, let's say Mike. So right now, Mike, I think if Mike's sitting in the final three, he's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
But if he's sitting there with Devin. Now, if Devin and Mike are in the final, if say there was just two, mm-hmm. Devin and Mike, I can't tell you which way I think it'd go. I think it could go about half and half because Devin is, this double agent plan thing he had going on, brilliant.
Right.
So you can't say he hadn't been playing strategic. He is extremely likable. And I guess one could argue he's young. He could use the money.
Mm-hmm.
So if Mike and Devin were playing, you know, side by side at the end, then I think Devin would have a good chance of beating Mike. And then the same thing with Ashley. I mean, I think Ashley's played a great game. I think she's been a little under the radar. I think this next couple of shows, we're going to see just how hard these people are playing because Ashley would be one. If I was Chrissy or Ryan, I would think we need to get Mike, Devin, and Ashley. We need to move them on out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three, in my opinion.
What about Ben?
No, I think right now they're going to be thinking they need to get Mike, Devin, and Ashley out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Ben's, because they're going to have a chance. Chrissy and Ryan will have a chance against Ben.
Yeah.
But I think Ben will take it. But if anybody's sitting with Mike and Devin, sitting with Mike and Devin, I think it's going to Mike or Devin. If Ashley's thrown in there, she might be hard to beat too because I don't think she's ruffled a lot of feathers. She had the idea about getting Ben out, so she's trying to play strategic because, I mean, she's looking at everything. She's strong with challenges. So
yeah.
To me, the three that they really need to move out to have a shot would be Mike, Devin, and Ashley. Especially Dr. Mike and Devin, because they're really sitting in really good positions right now.
Yeah, and when we're talking about Dr. Mike potentially being in that final three, I do think that this group really does like him. And I do feel like that these big moves are important because they get you to the final three. But when it push comes to shove and people have to cast their votes for who's going to win, I think it comes down to forget, you know, who needs the money. Forget whom had the best resume. I think that a jury ultimately ends up voting on who they like the most out of the people that are there. And they don't even care about they'll vote for the likable person with the worst resume over the person who is less likable with the better resume.
All right. So I have to agree with what you're saying, but this is what I think. When I was playing, this is the way I thought. I wanted to win, but if I couldn't win, who is the best one who played the best game behind me that can represent the season that I think played the best game?
Yeah.
Now, of course, for my season, it would have been Lex if Lex had been sitting in the final two, but he wasn't. So the next one would have, was Ethan. So when I look at these, if it's not, if I'm not, when I'm voting, somebody might have upset me a little bit, but still, like, for example, Ben might have upset me a little bit, but if I look at everything and think, but God, Ben played a heck of a game. He played it.
But he's a likable guy.
He's likable. He's likable. He served our country. He's got two small children. I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons. He's played a good game. I mean, he's been consistent, like I said, with everybody. So, you know, absolutely, Ben's got as good a shot as anybody. And so I was going to say something. What were we talking about before that? But remember this, Rob, this is your season. This is your second season.
Yeah.
When you played your second time, the All-Star season.
Yes.
Now, when, like, Big Tom and Lex, I don't care how good a game Boston Rob played, he wasn't going to win the game, because there's a fine line to where you play a really good.
Yeah, they didn't like him anymore because they were mad
at
him.
They were mad because what I'm saying is, you can play a really good, respectable, strategic game, which, even though I think Ben's upset a few people, they'll forget about that, I think, when it comes to the very end. But if you play a game like Boston Rob, you do too much and you get to a point where it's not going to matter. They're not going to vote. They're not going to give it to you, period.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a fine line there with how you treat people when you get to the end. And that would be like, who's the guy?
Russell,
the same way. I mean, you could play a great game and you get to the end. It doesn't matter.
They didn't like him.
That's right. Doesn't matter. You can play over and over and you're going to have the same result every time.
T-Bird, last week we saw Ben end up being this spy that they had this plan to have. Okay, Ben, you go beat the spy and go work with the other people. Did you feel like that was too risky of a move for Ben to accept that mission?
Shoot, no, I loved it. I mean, and I loved it. It was Devin's idea, which again puts Devin in a really sweet place for the final three to bring that up. No, I think basically Ben should have probably figured that out to do without Devin even telling him that. Because that's part of playing it close and kind of playing the game and not showing all your cards, which it seems like what everybody does by sharing this and that and this and that. And also, now the only thing that I've noticed Ben doing that is he lets out everybody's secrets.
Everybody else's secrets, not his.
Right, exactly. So that would be a problem for me if I was playing with Ben, because I think, well, you can't trust Ben at all, because he's telling this secret and this secret, then he's telling my secret also. But as far as him doing that, no. I guess it could have backfired, but I thought it went beautifully. I mean, he got Ryan to play his idol. I mean, those are game-changing moves. Those are winner moves to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now let's look at this. So we've got Ben, Devin, and Mike in the final three.
Yeah.
That would be a tough one, because now you throw those three in there together, I have no idea. I can't even tell you. I don't know if likability wins over likability needs the money, wins over likability needs the money, very strategic. That would be tough
because you have the couple of the healers that you think would all really like Dr. Mike, in Cole and Joe and Desi. You would think that he would get their votes.
Yes.
Devin, you feel like probably would get Ashley at the very least. You think that Lauren would probably end up going for Devin as well. And then Ryan and Chrissy, I feel like that, you know, it's hard to predict where they would end up. So that would actually be a really competitive final three.
Now, if Ryan or Chrissy, either one, are in the final three, then the other's going to vote for the other. But if Ryan or Chrissy, neither one, are in the final three, they're not voting for Ben.
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably be Devin.
Yeah.
I think they'd probably go Devin, even though they like Mike, because maybe they see Devin is not just likable, but strategic as well, where they might not see that for Dr. Mike. I mean, just depending on how these next shows go.
Okay.
It's a great combination. Any way you throw it out there, it's going to be good.
It's so good, you'll slap your mama?
Shoot, yeah. So good, it'll make you want to slap your grandmama.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, look, I know what I wanted to ask you. What was the use, other than them just throwing out some more idols? The idol that Lauren found.
Yes.
She found half of it. Okay. Let's pretend like she didn't tell everybody she found it, which is what you or I would probably not say, breathe a word of it, right?
Right.
I would have walked past it and come back and gotten it. So what was the use of just having the other half of it laying right beside her stand for the challenge? What was the use? She didn't have to go find it.
Right.
She didn't have to try to, like, hug a post and get it out of his pocket. I mean, it was just, what was the use of that?
So I don't know when they hid that advantage in the game. I mean, for all we know, it could have been there the whole time. And then they there would have been more interesting challenges where you would have had to go and grab the thing. And that was just the next challenge that was coming. I thought that that was pretty anticlimactic of that she just had to sit down and pick up the thing off the ground, where, you know, in the past where we've seen this executed where, oh, Jeremy or Kelly or even Troy's Ann last season, it's like, oh, are they going to find it? Are they going to not find it? She just sat down and picked it up.
It was right beside her. I mean, yeah, when they had to go and find it, you know, where nobody saw them get. Now, that was fantastic.
This is very exciting. Sense.
It was very exciting. I remember watching Kelly do that. I loved it. All that was so exciting. And I thought, okay, she's got it and she's just got to pick it up. I mean, she could have picked it up. It was anticlimactic. And I just thought, what's the purpose of that? But I guess maybe they needed to get it out because they haven't played enough idols this season. They needed to make sure that one got into play. I don't know.
T-Bird, we saw Ben sneaking around in this episode, and he ends up hearing some pivotal information at the well when we see Lauren and Ashley and Devin talking about him. Did you ever eavesdrop on somebody when you were playing Survivor?
Did I ever eavesdrop? God, you know, we were in the small little BOMA. We were just in a big circle. So,
but the sound would carry, right?
Yeah, the thing about it is, another reason we couldn't really play like they can play now, or they could have played back when you're on an open island and can get away from each other. We couldn't get away from each other. So if anybody were there talking, believe it or not, it really didn't happen that I thought that was obvious, because everybody would know it. We were always right there together. So it happened more the first few weeks when we were playing with the younger group, but they were so out in your face that they just talked out loud and were saying, you're going next, da 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 da. So, you know, it really just didn't happen once we merged. There was no place to go, so nobody really was doing that. You know, we were playing with Lex and Tom, and they were smart, savvy players.
Yeah.
They were what you
Big
see.
Tom is loud, though.
Not as loud, but actually, the kind of players you see nowadays, those three would have fit in beautifully. So, you know, no, that didn't really happen. But would I have eavesdropped? Absolutely.
T-Bird, let me ask you about Dr. Mike, because Dr. Mike and his wife, I'm not sure if you had heard this from the preseason, that they had a arrangement. Yes, you know about this.
I know this.
A hall pass? This. You know what that is?
A hall pass? I don't.
Okay.
Okay, this is what I heard. I heard that they named their child after Ethan from Africa. Our Ethan. EZ. Is that what you were going to say?
Yes. Well, I was going to tell another part of the story also.
No, I don't know. That's the only part I know. Tell me something else.
Okay. Well, the other part of the story was that Dr. Mike and his wife, they had an arrangement that if Dr. Mike's wife was to ever get together with Ethan, that was the one person that then he couldn't say anything, that she had a free hall pass, that if she was ever able to meet up with Ethan Zahn.
What?
Yeah.
No, I did not hear that.
Yep. It was in his bio.
No, I had to go back. All right. So Mike is, let me see this. Mike is what? 42? Mike is 42.
Yeah, sounds all right. Yeah.
Okay, I need to know this. How old is Barry?
I don't know.
How old is his wife?
It doesn't say that in his bio.
So, when did he... Okay, so, obviously, Barry said this when Ethan played, which was 17 years ago.
Yes.
So 17 years ago, Barry was still a babe. Right?
Well, many would say she's still a babe now, T-Bird.
I did say that.
Yes.
I said she would have still,
yeah, so, still, still, yeah, still
been a babe because she's a cute little blonde.
Yes.
Okay. Ethan might have taken her up on that because, you know, Ethan, he was single. Well, wait a minute. He was kind of, he had a few single times. I mean, I know he.
Yeah, well, we don't need to speculate on that.
Yeah, okay, I know. I'm starting to get myself in trouble now. Okay, on second thought, let's just go back to the hall pass and let's go to brighter, beautiful things and baby Ethan.
Yeah,
so they had baby Ethan. So hopefully, hopefully there was no paternity test done. That's so in a whole.
Yes, no, no, no. I believe there's no question there about that. But what did you think about that? That there is a Survivor player that has named a child after the winner of Survivor Africa.
How cool is that?
Yes,
that is very, very, very cool. And you know, Ethan. Oh God, Ethan is one of a kind. He is.
We talked to him this season. I talked to him after the first episode.
There is nothing negative you can say about Ethan.
Yeah.
Nothing. I love him. He's wonderful. So they couldn't have done a better job naming their child. How many children do they have, by the way, other than Ethan? Do they have a little baby girl named Teresa?
No. Well, I don't know. Well, I don't believe so. But have you ever met or heard anybody named the baby Teresa after you?
No, I've not. How about a baby T-Bird?
Baby T-Bird. That would be good as well. But you haven't had that yet.
I haven't had that.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yes.
Not yet.
Yes.
Not yet, but.
Yeah, but it speaks to how big the show was at that point, because we saw Colby the other night, and I told him that we were going to have you on the podcast, that he was out in Austin, and I'd asked him about, you know, all of these kids that were named Colby when you were on the show are now growing up and are like these punk 17-year-old guys running around.
So, now really, I guess they're probably, is that true? There are a lot of kids that were named, little boys named, or little girls, I guess, named Colby?
Well, I don't know if there were a lot of girls named Colby, but I think there are girls named Colby, but I'm not sure how many girls got named Colby after Colby Donaldson. But who knows, T-Bird? I'm no expert.
So there, are you telling me, though, that there were kids named, little boys named Colby once Colby played? Because,
yes,
people loved Colby.
Yes.
So you know what? That's interesting. Let me ask you this. When I think back on the earlier seasons, you know, people that stand out, well, you know, Colby, of course, Ethan, of course, you know, players that people
T-Bird.
Just really grab. Well, no, you know what I'm saying. Really, truly, let's be serious here for just a minute.
Yes.
Colby, Ethan, you know, Big Tom, characters that really larger than life. And the three guys, I just happen to name those three guys. They're amazing. I love them. They're great people. And you can see why they had such a big fan base, because especially, you know, God, Big Tom, I love him to pieces. So all these later seasons, do we have players that are kind of like larger than life who do you think of from the recent seasons that are large? And I know we have them. See, I know Russell's larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people think about Russell like they think about Ethan, if you have that same warm feeling. I don't know if Dr.
Well,
Mike...
Well, I can tell you that I do not believe that that is the case.
Right. Yeah. So but that's my point. So when you think of larger life, feel good, you know, people that have played in the later years, who do you think of?
Well, you first off, you know, in the beginning, even at the time that you guys were playing, you know, 25, 30 million people a week are watching the show. So it was more of a, you know, a cultural touch point than it is now, where Survivor does great in the ratings. It wins its time slot, but 9 million people are watching. So, you know, you have maybe, you know, a third of the audience that was watching at the time that even when you were playing, and maybe, you know, a fourth or a fifth of the audience of the people in the first two seasons. So you definitely, you don't have the same number of people that have that same access. But that there are people who have played in recent seasons where if they were on one of the first couple seasons, I think that they would have been on that level. I think that Cochran, who, you know, has been such a big deal, like, you know, he's such a character that I think that, you know, he, you know, and he's been very successful since the show, but I think that he would have been, you know, a household name had he been on, you know, one of the first couple seasons.
Right. Absolutely.
Tony certainly was, you know, somebody that really just, you know, popped off the screen. And I'm not talking about like great players, but I'm just talking about like people that were characters that could have potentially transcended the show.
Right. Okay. So you named Cochran. Now I'm going to name a female.
Yes, please.
Do you want to guess? Who I'm going to say?
I'm trying to think of somebody who, will you tell me who?
I would think she would have been large. I think she's larger than life now. Kelly Wentworth.
Kelly Wentworth. Yeah. Certainly, if you took the run that she had in the Second Chance season, if that happened in the second or third season, sure. Absolutely.
I mean, she's just a doll. She's just the whole little package doll. Great player. You just can't help. She's got that likability and just everything. So definitely she would have definitely fit into that category, or she fits in the category, but if she'd have played in the early days, she would be household name, just like, you know, Ethan.
She'd have been co-hosting The View, is what you're saying.
She would absolutely have been co-hosting The View. And not only that, get back to the original subject, Dr. Mike and Barry would have a little girl named Kelly.
Oh.
And maybe if he was lucky, Barry would have given him the hall pass that she got with Ethan.
Maybe.
We can only hope that she would have extended that to Dr. Mike. That's all I've got on that.
Yes. Okay. T-Bird, I have a lot of questions for you from the listeners of the podcast. Do you mind if I take a moment and thank one of our sponsors today?
No, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I want to thank our sponsors over at canvaspeople.com. T-Bird, canvaspeople.com, they create beautiful canvas photos, where they create canvas works of art from photos for you to hang up at your home. They're a great gift idea for anybody on your holiday shopping list. T-Bird, have you been running around doing holiday shopping, or you haven't even started yet?
No, I hadn't really started yet, but the good thing is my kids now are, you know, 20, 22 and 25. So you know what they want.
Canvas photos. But
yes, they want. I am actually going to get in touch with Canvas. I'm going to get in touch with canvaspeople.com. I only hope I have time to get in touch with canvaspeople.com and get this picture of our family painted for them. And then along with canvaspeople.com canvas, I'll have to give them a large check to go with it.
Yeah. Well, here's the great thing about canvaspeople.com. T-Bird, they have a great offer right now that you can get an 11 by 14 canvas photo for $0 pricing. So that saves a lot of money to give your kids that check that they were looking for Christmas. Normally it's an 11 by 14 photo. That's $69.99 plus shipping. You get it for $0 pricing. You just pay the shipping. They're so sure you're going to love the gorgeous canvases. They'll give you the first one for free. It's a fantastic gift idea for anybody on your list. Nicole and I have been using them for a long time now, and we're very happy with the results. Over 1 million satisfied customers. Go to canvaspeople.com for this special offer. Upload your photo, select the 11 by 14 size, and enter the promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing. That's at canvaspeople.com, promo code RHAP. All right, T-Bird, let me get back to some of these questions for you.
So, Rob, wait just a minute. So you're telling me I can shop at home, sitting here at my computer, I just have to load a picture, and I can get a buy one, get one for $69.99. I can get Tyler 1 and Ellie, buy one, get one, $69.99. Plus,
no, that's
shipping.
No, you get it for $0. You just pay the shipping. It normally costs $69.99, T-Bird. It's even better than what you thought.
All right, so I am absolutely going to load this up. But in the special promo, RHAP. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You're the best, T-Bird.
Okay.
T-Bird, Dave Backer wants to know, would you have pulled the shell out of the fire at Tribal Council?
Okay, Dave, this is what I would have done because I thought about it. I would not have thrown that in the fire. Absolutely. Absolutely not. But I would have thrown something in the fire that they would have thought was part of it, but it wouldn't have been that.
Yes.
But unfortunately, since Lauren got voted out, see, I could trust Lauren. I think I could trust Lauren. So if Lauren hadn't taken the fall,
that's what Ben thought.
Everybody. So I would have pretended. I would have had something. I would have said, I'm getting rid of this idol. We've had enough of these in play. This is messing up everybody's gameplay. And then I would have talked to Lauren later and say, Lauren, guess what, sweetheart? Look what I have. Mm-hmm. Let's figure this out. So that's what I would have done.
Now, T-Bird, Dave is asking, though, would you have pulled the shell out of the fire, not even thrown it in there? If you were Lauren, would you have said, hey, I need that shell?
Oh. That's what I had gone in after it. You know what? Probably I would have. Absolutely. Yes. I don't know if I could. I guess you could have. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I think it happened so quickly. And I mean, it's easy. Hindsight's really easy. But after the fact, to say that. But no, what I would have done is, yes, I would have gone into it if I had and gotten it if I had thought that quickly. But I wouldn't probably have thought that quickly. But I would not have thrown it in to begin with. I would have thrown in something that was like that and then told Lauren later. But it would have been for naught because Lauren, you know, was voted out. So,
what about this tweet that came in from Ryan53113? If you were Lauren, would you have given Dr. Mice a piece of your half idol to gain his trust? Did you think that that was a smart move in any way? Well, I know it didn't work out, but do you feel like was there any wisdom there?
Oh, Ryan53113. Actually, I'm not sure how all that even took place. I'm not sure why Lauren saw it and announced it to Ben. And then once she got it, I'm not sure why she gave it to, you know, to Ryan, Ryan53113. So none of that whole thing kind of made sense to me because Ryan, Mike, she gave it to Mike. No, I didn't think that would probably been the strongest thing for her to do at the time, but maybe there was more to it, you know, that she realized by being in the game that I don't know by not being in the game. I really couldn't see why, you know, be honest with you with that, because I think she could have made more headway with Chrissy, going to Chrissy, but then with Dr. Mike. But, and of course, since we know Dr. Mike threw it in the fire, she obviously could have done better, you know, given it to Chrissy. But
well, I do think that there is something here to, you know, we've talked about how there's so many idols and advantages that are in the game. And I do think that the players are feeling like, OK, well, I've got this thing and it's burning a hole in my pocket. Is there something I could be doing with it that is going to help me get some value out of it? And it's sort of like, well, I can use this for this vote in this way and then still have it to use on another day. So I'll let Mike hold it on this vote. That'll help me. And then I'll use it on the next vote. And then that'll help me. And I think that people are just getting a little greedy with these advantages. And maybe that's why they're telling people about them, because they're feeling like that they're going to be able to, you know, use one advantage to help them, you know, with two or three different things.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of what did Ben say last night that the people at, or the, when he was said a couple of people at home were saying, don't tell everybody about your advantages or your idols.
Yes.
That's still the way I feel overall. I mean, I guess there comes a time in the game when your back's up against the wall and you might need to use it for a little leverage, but all in all, I think you're better served, you know, not letting anybody know or playing it for somebody. Maybe if you've got it, playing it for somebody at Tribal that you think will be very, very grateful. For example, I mean, look at the relationship that Chrissy and Ryan have had since he gave her, you know, since he gave her that idol at the very, very beginning. I mean, that has been a very, very strong and a really cool relationship. So I think there's times when you can do something like that and give it away. And if you give it to the right person that will be very grateful and will always remember you did that for them. Because didn't Ryan even blindside his own tribe mates? Didn't he blindside Rourke and Allie to take care of Chrissy just because she had, you know, because he gave her the super idol? I mean, that's when it makes sense. mm-hmm. doing it for things like that. But other than just letting people know you have it, I think it's almost like it's a threat because it's a threat to people, and that's not a good thing.
Okay, T-Bird, this is a question that's from the great Lita Brillman. T-Bird, even in the most difficult times in Africa, you always stayed so positive. I think a lot of us could use that in our lives. What's your secret to keeping your chin up and smiling, or should be keeping up your chin and grin through it all?
Gosh, Lita, that's sweet. That's very sweet. I think it's, you know, just being thankful for what you've got and just realizing that things can always be, you know, can be worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just, I don't know, that's just always worked for me. Just
right,
knowing
like you
that
would
things
think
could
about,
be worse. I'm so this blessed.
This is terrible that I'm out here suffering on Survivor, but could be worse. I could be on Big Brother. That's what you used to think about?
Yeah, exactly what I think about. You know, it's funny. When I was watching it the other night, so Rob, when I was watching it the other night, and you know I like Devin. Have I told
yes.
you I like Devin?
Yes.
Right. So Devin and Ashley are standing up there, the last two, and I can tell you this right now. I would never step down off a challenge for anything, ever. I mean, unless, you know, it was going to benefit my children. I would never get down. I would never get down for peanut butter, chocolate, pizza, and even fried chicken, which is my favorite. I would never give up. And I would never set out a challenge for something because to me that shows it looks like you're very comfortable.
Right.
And I don't think that shows. I mean, other people don't like to see how comfortable you are. That's even if you just play and then just, you know, get down real fast or whatever. But anyway, so.
Well, let me test you. Let me quiz you because Felipe has a question for you, T-Bird.
All right, Lita, thank you for that great question.
Yes. Felipe wants to know, would you have stepped down from the immunity challenge if Clarence offered to give you a back massage like Devin and Ashley arranged?
Absolutely, positively not. No way. No, absolutely not. But you see, that's another reason that I think Ashley's a really good player because she mentioned that. But I can tell you right now, she wasn't coming down first. No way. She wasn't. She wasn't coming down first because even when Clarence was like, when Clarence asked me, he goes, you want to do something? You do it right. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, maybe we can do something, but I'm not just going to get down. So I could tell Ashley just watching her face, you know, I could already tell that Devin wanted to get down, but Ashley was not getting down first.
Now, hold on, T-Bird, because I want to make sure I'm reading between the lines here, because that if people recall back in Survivor Africa that you were in the endurance challenge, the first time they played the bucket over your person's head challenge, we have to stand there, and you were standing there for, what was it, 17 hours with your arm over your head?
At least 17 hours. Yeah.
And you and Clarence ended up doing rock, paper, scissors to decide. And I believe you had paper covered rock, correct?
Yep.
And Clarence actually then at that point became the first player ever to get rocked out of the game in that moment. But that being said, if you had lost, if Clarence drew scissors, would you have said what? Best 2 out of 3?
Oh, God. You know what, Rob, that is a great question. You know what, I'd like to say I would have pulled it, but I don't think I would have. I had been up there so long, and I also knew that, I mean, it was Clarence's idea to do it. So he was ready to come down. So I knew pretty much like Ashley knew, it, since Devin mentioned it first, I could probably talk him out of, you know, talk him down first because I'm not getting down. So that was his idea. But then the next thing was, I know Clarence, and Clarence is a man's man. So I figured
he is a man's man, Clarence.
Clarence, I love Clarence. Clarence is going to do a rock.
Yes.
Clarence is going to do a rock. That's so I gambled.
Oh,
out
so
of
you
the
got it in his
three.
Head, T-Bird.
So I figured he was going to do that. And when he did it, I didn't have to think about my next gameplay because I had stayed in too long because I knew that. If I didn't, the bad thing was I knew that if Clarence didn't win, he was going home. I knew that. Clarence didn't know that.
Right.
But I also knew that if Clarence won, Frank was going home. And he was my closest ally, which would
ally.
Mean one. Yeah, that would mean he, if he was gone, that's three more days, I would stay in the game. So, yeah, there was a lot going on with that.
T-Bird, this is why you're so smart. So you're saying that that these big macho guys, that you can go and hustle them because you have to challenge them to rock, paper, scissors, and then these big macho guys are always going to put out a rock because that's the most masculine of rock, paper, scissors. And then maybe it's not 100%, but more often than not, you'll end up beating these guys because you'll do paper.
Well, I just couldn't see Clarence doing scissors, a little pair of scissors. It just didn't make sense to me that it was a little pair of scissors.
Yeah. What, are scissors more feminine?
Scissors.
Scissors. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
You know, I mean, Clarence was destined to be a rock. It was just going to happen. So Felipe, that was a good question. But, you know, again, even like I said with Ashley, watching Ashley when I knew Devin was getting down, I knew before it happened Devin was getting down first. So,
yes.
Again, Ashley's a good player. She's a good player.
This was a question that we had for you about what does Ashley need to do to get to the end and win? That what can she do to be the person who stands there and says, hey, I deserve to be the winner this season?
Well, I don't think she needs to be sitting there with Mike or Devin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first two things because, all right, let's see. She started out, Ashley was on Heroes, right?
She was a hero. She was a hero, right.
All right, first thing is she does not need to be there with Mike or Devin because at this point with only two episodes left, she's going to have to do something really big. If she was sitting there, I don't think she's ruffled a lot of feathers. I mean, she could say how she tried to get Ben out because she knew Ben was a really strong player.
Yeah.
You know, that might help her. And I don't think she did a lot of conniving and all that. But the best thing I think Ashley can do at this point is be sitting there with maybe Chrissy and Ryan.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I like Chrissy and Ryan. I just think that she might do better. She doesn't want to be sitting with them and even probably with Ben either. And then
I think she's sort of damned if she does or damned if she doesn't. Because if I'm going to keep with my theory of that the jury only cares about likable. So she's talking about big moves right now. Like, oh, I need to make big moves so I can get to the jury. But the problem for her is that all the people that like her are the people she's trying to get to the end with. Where it's like, oh, I like Devin and working with Lauren. And now Lauren is on the jury. So that could be a vote for somebody who really likes her. But I think that ultimately where the big moves thing ends up coming up for the people that don't really like you that much, that's just like the easiest thing to throw at somebody. Like, oh, what moves did they make? But if they like the person, they wouldn't be saying, what moves do they make? They're only saying, what moves do they make? Because that sounds better than, well, I just didn't like them out there.
How could you not like her? I mean,
they may not love her. Maybe they like a different person better. I don't think anybody actively dislikes her.
All right, so I'm trying to make sense of this right now. I think she's going to have to do something pretty strong. She's going to have to do something. Now, I think, you know, she might end up getting Ryan and Chrissy's vote, you know, if they're not sitting there with her. But I think for her to win, they need to be sitting there with her.
Yeah. And the problem is for her, she needs Devin out of the game. And this was something as I was reviewing my Survivor Africa notes before this call that Tom ended up where he wanted Lex out of the game, but he didn't really want to be the person who took Lex out of the game, right? Like he wanted hey, if it happens, that would be great. If you guys can pull it off, but I can't be in on it. Like that's where she needs to be with Devin, where she doesn't want to piss him off to get him out of the game. But
yeah,
I think Devin on the jury would actually be a really good thing for her.
Yeah, Devin. Now, if Devin was on the jury, that'd be a really good thing for her because I think, number one, Devin would vote for her.
And maybe fight for her.
Yeah. And I think he would do a strong case for her. Absolutely. Let me look and think. All right. So Desi's probably going to go with Mike. Let's see. Cole's probably going to go.
Yeah. The healers would vote for Mike.
Cole's going to go. Yeah. Chrissy, there's Ashley.
Yeah.
She's going to have to, you're right. That's exactly what she's going to have to do. She's going to have to get him out without him knowing she's getting him out.
Yeah. And JP might vote for her. Remember JP, T-Bird? Yeah,
it's so funny that you say, remember JP? Okay. So
when he used to be on the show.
You know, okay. So I saw JP a few weeks ago and I didn't know who he was.
In person or on the show?
On the show.
Okay.
I haven't even heard JP. I don't even remember hearing JP talk. Now, don't get me wrong. I remember looking up when they were doing their challenges, and there are some buffed bodies out there. And JP absolutely is one of them. But I don't remember his personality at all.
Mm.
I don't.
It's weird.
I know. I hate to say that. I remember Cole. But I just don't remember JP that, you know, really.
Mm.
Now, but I can say something for JP here. I think JP's going to vote for Chrissy if she makes it to the final three. How about that?
Yeah, no, I think that sounds about JP.
T-Bird,
I think you're locked in today. I think you're right on the money.
But as far as, you know, Noah's an outdoorsy guy. I think, isn't he a firefighter?
He's a firefighter, yeah.
You know, firefighter, fantastic physique, you know, real strong in challenges. But as far as his gameplay, I just don't really remember anything standing out about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate to say that, but what was his biggest move?
He took his pants off when Alan said, "You have the idol."
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, that was a pretty big move, I guess. Alan was a character of his own. Alan was a mess. I remember Alan from way back. He was a mess, wasn't he?
He had a bad first episode. He really, after that, he calmed down, I will say.
Well, Alan's one of those, tell me if I've got this right. A player like Alan can mess up your game in a minute.
Sure.
Period. It's kind of like Brandon. And of course, I love Brandon. But when you've got somebody out there that's kind of all over, you don't know what they're doing, even though there are other stronger strategic players, if you don't get those wild cards out, you're going to mess your game up. Because going back to Africa, if I had kept Brandon in and I could have trusted Brandon, or whichever way, if I could have trusted Brandon, I would have kept him in. I think I may could have gotten a little closer to the end, but Brandon was such a wild card, just like Alan was a wild card for sure. And now that you told me about him having JP take his pants down, I remember all about JP now. How could I have forgotten that?
I don't know, T-Bird.
I don't know.
Edward Morris wants to know, have you heard from Puppy the Cat since our last podcast?
Edmo, I have not. I don't think.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of afraid to ask Edmo to refresh my memory because I'm afraid I might step in it there.
Did you have a cat that was coming by? No, I was going to ask you. Did you have a cat that was coming by that you named Puppy?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Who was barking before?
Oh, those are my dogs.
Yeah. How many dogs do you have?
Two on the inside and two sheep dogs outside.
Two sheep dogs on the outside.
Well, two Great Pyrenees. Yeah, we have a sheep farm.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell me about that. I see pictures on your Twitter with the sheep. Did you always have that?
We had a sheep probably about 5 years.
Yeah. Why? Why did you start with the sheep? Because John Carroll has goats?
Yeah, I had to compete with Carroll. with our Instagram and Twitter stuff, so we had to get some animals out here. No, we had the property. I've been out here on the farm for 30 long time, and my husband just decided we needed to utilize the property, so we decided to go in the sheep business.
Yeah, so
that's it.
The sheep business, do you sell wool?
No, they're hairless sheep, so we actually sell for breeding.
Okay.
Breedstock. And they're not goats. A lot of people think they're goats.
And is that fun?
Yes.
Okay.
They're very cute. They're you can handle them. They're not like cattle or horses. I mean, you know, when you go out to treat them or, you know, to vaccinate the babies, they're precious. Your son would love them.
They would love them. Yeah. Yeah, they like all the farm animals. Let's keep with the animal themes, because I've been looking at your Twitter feed, and I'm looking at a picture of a like a black bear that is in the window of your house. Was that real, or is it somebody with a Halloween costume?
No, actually, that is real, but it was not here at my house.
Okay.
We do not have bears here, but I love that. I thought that was perfect for the little Halloween thing I put there.
Okay, so what is this? Is it a picture you found on the internet, or did this happen to somebody you know?
No, my brother sent it to me. I have a twin brother. So my brother sent it to me, and I'm like, oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
so
this is like a 6-foot bear standing on the sliding glass door, like trying to get into a house.
Oh, they're very friendly down here in this neck of the woods.
Well, I don't need them
they're
friendly.
They're very friendly. You didn't.
Okay.
It just made me laugh. I thought I got to do something with that. I got to put something up about that.
And then also, you had a picture of you with that you're saying the caption says feet tied, arms bound, the worm challenge, hashtag survivor. And then you have like a giant slimy worm on your leg here, T-Bird. Well, what is this about?
Okay. So that's kind of weird. All right. So, Rob, believe it or not, I mean, again, I live on a farm. I'm outside all the time. I build fires all the time outside. I'm very much love it to be outside. Well, I collect wood and firewood for my fires. And so I picked up some firewood. And when I picked up, there was this huge, and actually, when I first picked up the wood, you know, there's stuff underneath it when you're picking up all this wood out here, you know, in the country.
Yes.
I thought it was a baby snake, a baby. Because, again, when I picked up the wood, I'm like, what? Well, actually, it wasn't a baby snake. It was the biggest worm I've ever seen in my life. So, for whatever reason, I just did a picture of it. I know, it was kind of weird. I don't know why I did. I guess I was just fascinated with the size of the worm. And then it looked like a little snake. So I don't know. That's how that happened.
T-Bird, is the worm challenge a real thing? Or are you trying to get the worm challenge started where people should go out and find the biggest worm they can and put it on their leg and then send you a picture of it?
No. I didn't. Did I write that on there?
The worm challenge, you said.
I wrote that on there.
Yes.
The worm
feet
challenge.
Tied, arms bound, .. the worm challenge, 4 exclamation points, hashtag survivor. October 25th.
Okay, I don't remember doing that. How can I locate that?
go open your Twitter and go on your page.
I don't even remember that. I remember I did get a personal message from somebody. Listen to this. This is the honest to goodness truth. And this person told me that if I send that tweet out again of that worm, that she was gonna
unfollow,
not follow me anymore. Unfollow, thank you. Not follow. She was gonna unfollow me. So apparently, I guess worms offend people. I don't know. I didn't hurt the worm. I just was amazed that it was so big.
Yeah, here it is. This person, this woman named Sarah, said, "Next time you post this,
Sarah,
I'm blocking you."
Yeah. And I thought, I wasn't sure if Sarah was mad at me, if she'd had a bad experience with a worm.
Hey, whatever happened to the First Amendment, T-Bird? Aren't you allowed to post your worm pictures if you want?
The worm is turned. I don't know. I did not want to offend Sarah anymore, so I actually sent Sarah a personal message. I did.
And what did you say? I'm sorry.
I can really tell you I sent Sarah a message, but I can't remember what I told her because, remember, I couldn't even remember what I put with my worm picture.
Yeah. Why is a feet tied, arms bound? Did you get tied up to put the worm on your leg?
I don't remember. I got to find that because, no, I was the only one. I put the worm on my leg. I took a picture. Are you sure that's what I said? I don't think that's what I said.
T-Bird, what did you get hacked?
how do I find that?
Go on your Twitter, look on October 25th, when you posted this.
Do I have to scroll down everything? Okay, do I have to scroll down everything?
Down a little bit. You don't tweet that
much. Let me ask you this. You know what? This is crazy. This social media stuff, I read people's stuff sometimes, and, okay,
Right?
Okay.
Feet tied, arms bound, the worm challenge.
Oh, do you know what? There was a challenge. Okay. Rob, you should know this. Now I remember. Yes, because you watch all the episodes. If you look at the episodes.
Oh, they when they. Okay, when the survivors were doing the worm challenge.
Yes.
When
yes.
they had their feet tied and their arms yes. down and they were in the sand, you yes. went in the backyard and got a worm and then did your own worm challenge.
It just happened that after I saw this, what happened was I took this picture. I had it on my phone for a day or two, whenever I did it. And then they did this challenge and I'm like, that reminds me of that worm I just got the other day. So okay, I'm glad you cleared that up because I thought I was going to have to just turn this Twitter feed off. I thought something's wrong with me.
Okay, so you're not starting the worm challenge.
Rob, look right above that worm.
Yes, Worm Wednesday, you called it.
I'm exhausted watching the Worm Wednesday challenge. That's when they were all tied up. Remember, their faces were black. They were.
Yes, I remember.
I remember. All right, remember Ryan? God, love him. I remember Ryan was having, I was exhausted watching Ryan trying to worm his way through that challenge. So I'm glad you cleared that up. That's why I put it. And as you know, if I look at my Twitter stuff, most of my stuff doesn't make a lick of sense at all. Yeah. It just doesn't.
So do you want people on hashtag Worm Wednesday to send you pictures of worms?
I don't want to do that. Let me tell you why, because I kind of got this thing going on with Sarah, and I promised Sarah, I did. I said, okay, I promise you, Sarah, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to have to do something else just in honor of Sarah.
Sarah who? Sarah Lucina?
Whoever told me that if I posted again, she's going to unfollow me. How did you find that? How did you find that she said that to me?
If I click on the tweet, I could see who responded to you.
All right, show me how. I got to do that.
So open it up, and then it says, next time you post this, I'm blocking you.
Do you think she meant it? I think she did.
I don't know. I have to look at the rest of her Twitter feed to see how seriously she takes things.
It's let it.
Well, let's not totally out her. We could just call her Sarah.
All right. No, I like her. You see what I said? I said, okay, deal. No more. So I can't do any more worms. That's it.
Okay.
I promise, Sarah. And you know, I'm really, one of my things that if I ever get to play Survivor again, that I'd have to tweak a little bit. My word is a big thing for me.
Yes.
It's a big thing. It's like I told Clarence, no matter what, whatever happens, I'm not voting for you. So that's one thing. Now, let's talk about these players now with their words. I don't know that anybody kind of holds to their word anymore. I think maybe Ashley has this time.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ashley. The word thing is a bit like
this
the man
is a
of
good
his
point.
Word.
This is a good point that we don't really see this come up very much in modern day Survivor, but it was something I think that was very important in the early days of Survivor, where it's like, well, I gave that person my word, or I swore on this. And then if you ever cross that in the early, it was like a really big deal. But now if a person had that, that would be the kind of thing we would probably either make fun of or say, oh, why are they being such a baby that they can't even break their word? But you say that you would that would be an issue for you.
Well, that's funny, because remember when Chrissy approached Ben after tribal council and said, you know, I backed you the whole time. You know, I had your back the whole time.
Yeah.
And then he said, hey, it's just a game. And that's what you say when you've broken somebody's trust. You just throw out, it's just a game. And then remember when Ben said, night, night, kind of like that, night, night.
Yeah. Sure.
That's when I thought, you know, if you're playing nowadays, you cannot, you know, you can't take people at their word, but really, it's really.
Yeah, I thought he did a bad job in that spot where she was upset with him. And even like later in the episode, he came to her and said, look, I'm sorry if I offended you in any way, because to me, that's like a non-apology. I'm sorry if I offended you in any way, because it makes it sound like, well, I'm sorry if just something I did happen to offend you. Like, I feel like that you could do a heartfelt apology that's different than, I'm sorry if I offended you in any way.
Yeah. And Chris, I mean, you got to remember, you want these people on your side when you get to the end. And it's all about not just what you're doing, but how you react to it, even for Chrissy, and how Ben reacts to her about it when she's upset. But I kind of think to myself that, you know, that he could have handled that just a little bit better by saying, hey, I mean, he could have, I don't know if the right thing to say is, hey, it's just a game, because it's almost like an excuse for, you know, violating the trust thing. But
yeah. No, it's just a game is not helpful in any way. Like, nobody ever feels better where you say to somebody, it's just a game. It's like, you know what? You're right. All right. You got me. Okay.
So, Rob, and again, I'm looking right now. I still think that people play the game the way they live their life. I said that, and I still believe that. So to this I say, I don't know that I've seen Chrissy. I think she's been straight up. Ashley's been straight up. And I think that Devin has been straight up. Because even Devin told Ryan, I mean, I know Ryan had told Devin about his idol. And the only time that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Devin told Ryan, hey, I'm not in your corner anymore. I thought I was the only one that knew this. And apparently, you know, I can't trust you anymore. So it seems like that Devin's played a pretty straight up game too. I mean, am I missing that somehow?
Well, he did, you know, really sort of orchestrate the whole thing. Okay, Ben, you'll be a double agent, and then we'll tell the coconuts one thing, and then I think that he was, you know, definitely being two-faced to certain people in the game.
But he wasn't in alliance with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, he did that to Joe and Mike, but if you're not going to...
Yeah, so I feel like it's a fine line.
It's a fine line, but if you've... I mean, I'm looking at people that have given their loyalty to somebody, Chrissy and Ryan, and have stuck by that and not done anything. And I just feel like Ashley's kind of done pretty much like she said. And then I thought Devin pretty much too, because again... I don't think other than Ryan that he actually did have an alliance with early on. And then toward these last few episodes, he said, yeah, we did have it. But then I saw I can't trust you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he had a pretty good argument at the end for playing pretty straight up game.
T-Bird, this is a question from Mo Saunders, who said, I want to know if T-Bird will sing a song for us. Will the sun come out tomorrow? Now, T-Bird, I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot to sing right now unless you want to. But T-Bird, have you considered ever making a song parody for the Wandoff?
The what? For the Wandon? What's the Wandon?
The Wandoff. That's our... We have a big song parody contest every week where people write all of these songs about each episode. And with your voice, T-Bird, you would be perfect for the Wandoff.
Oh, okay. Does that mean somebody will write it for me?
Maybe. Yeah. So would you be willing to perform a Wandoff entry for somebody?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But now do you judge the Wandoff on the voice or actually the words to the
well, both,
song?
Both. It's the production and then how funny it is. So maybe you're throwing your services out there. Does it have to only be The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow you're willing to sing a parody of, or any song?
No, I'll do a parody for anything they want to do. But if they want to win, they might want to choose somebody else. But if they can't find anybody or they get ding-dong gifts by anybody, I'll step in. Absolutely.
If you get ding-dong ditched by anybody?
If somebody ding-dong ditches them at the last second and they need somebody, I'm their girl.
Okay.
Absolutely. Tell Mo, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Mo.
T-Bird, do you still have the magic eight ball that you got from me?
Oh, gosh. Rob, you can leave this on or you can take it out. I don't care. I loved you from the beginning. I loved your kid before you and I met, before anything. I loved you from the beginning. Loved your personality. I loved your everything. And I'll never forget, you sent me this magic eight ball signed. And
yes.
I'm holding it right now, Rob. It's very, very special to me.
Oh, good.
I'm not kidding. I know I kid around a lot. I'm not kidding. I'm holding it right now. Let's ask it something.
Yes. What do you want that? What should we ask it, T-Bird? Will T-Bird be back on Survivor at some point?
We probably shouldn't ask it that.
Don't ask it that.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to ask it anyway.
Will
I can tell you?
Well, I'll ask a different question then. Will T-Bird end up getting a song parody to write for The Wand Off, to perform?
Okay. Here we go.
Yes.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
Okay, what'd you get?
Okay. It says, it is certain.
It is certain. Okay.
Was that what we asked it, or did we ask if I was playing again first?
Well, yeah, I think I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it was both things.
Okay. It is certain. So you let me know if somebody wants me to do their wand off, and I'll do whatever I need to do.
Yes. Yes. The wand off based on the great Survivor Wanda. Do you remember Wanda?
Yes, I do.
Because she would sing all the time.
Now, is this right? Wanda never got to play, did she? Was she the one that didn't?
She was out there, but she didn't get picked, and then they sent her away.
You know what? That's terrible.
Yeah, but she got to sing.
She got what?
She got to sing. Yeah.
Well, I hope that Wanda was one of those characters that she got to that point and was part of it, was happy with that.
Yes.
Because if I got to that point, well, I guess that's not really true. Because, you know, with second chances, Rob, seriously, I was just thinking about it. With second chances, if you had said, all right, Teresa, you can either be in the second chances running and not make it, or you can not be in the second chances at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one you want? Or it's the same question that we say to each other. We say, all right, if you can be on this season of Survivor, but if you're on this season, you're going to be the first voted out. Do you go or do you not go?
Yeah.
What do you say?
I've heard it both ways, T-Bird, because I feel like that you have Vetus, who went out there and was the first one to get kicked off. And he says, you know what? If I would have known I was going to go and be the first person off, I wouldn't have, you know, even wanted to be involved with it. And then I feel like that you have somebody like Jim Rice, who was like trying to, you know, fight with everybody in the lead up to the vote, who says, you know, I'd rather go out there and be the first person voted off than to not get out there at all. So I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this. You can say anything that makes you feel good, anything that makes you sleep at night. But as I thought about it the last couple of years, I thought, well, out of 20-something people that they had for second chances, and how many of that were women? I should know. You probably know. How many of us were women out there?
Yeah.
Total. 12 of us?
I think what they did, I think it was that they started with 16 and 16, and I think they got it down to 10. And then Mike Holloway, I think, was eliminated because he had won the season.
Okay. So 16 women got down to that final vote. So this is what I say. Out of how many women that had played up to that point,
a lot.
To be in that 16 of all those awesome, awesome women that have played, if you can't look at that and think, hey, I won, that's a win, then I don't know what to tell you. Because, I mean, there are a lot of people that would have liked to have said, hey, they noticed me. They put me in the vote. Hey, I didn't make it, but I was in it. I was in the vote. So now, at first, it took me a while to get to this point, but now that's where I am. So, again, as many awesome women that could have been out there that weren't in that final cut, I'm blessed.
Well, T-Bird, and that's fantastic that you get to that conclusion, because I think that speaks to what Lita wrote in her question to you about how are you able to take these difficult times and that you experienced on the show and stay so positive. And I think that speaks to something that I think is a trait that people who persevere end up having, where whatever happens to you in your life, that you can tell yourself a story that makes it make sense. And I think that the people who are unable to do that, I think that that's when depression starts to set in and, you know, you have a hard time moving on from any setback. But if you can just figure out a way to sort of tell yourself, well, this is, the reason, or this was, an accomplishment, and sort of like, somehow spin a loss into a silver lining, I think that that is a really positive trait.
Rob, you know what? That's exactly right. And isn't that the truth of it, though, with life? If you look at people, and it depends on how you look at everything that comes your way, every situation. And if you can find, like you said, the silver lining, then you can carry on to the next thing. And you can't take it and let it pull your self-worth down. You just got to, it's all part of the adventure. It's all part of it. So, that was great. Lita! Thanks for coming back into that conversation.
Yes.
Rob, that was beautiful. You can take me out of this part if you want to, but that was very cool that you just said all that.
Well, yeah, I think that's really important, T-Bird. Yeah.
And Rob, there are so many people that have so many things going on in their life and with different things and difficult things. Nothing like what I was talking about with survivor stuff.
Sure.
And just to figure out what you can take out of it or how you can make it better just to try to get through the day sometimes, that's what you have to do. So, Lita, friend me.
Yeah.
Tweet me. Lita,
she will. Oh, she will.
Tweet
she
me.
Will. but
Lita,
T-Bird.
You don't, okay, yeah. I got to tell Lita this. And Lita, if you don't like worms, I'm not posting anymore, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. And T-Bird, I also think that, one of the great things about what, we get to do when we talk about this stuff is that, the amount of people that are listening to this podcast that are ever going to play Survivor in their lives is so small. So some of this stuff is somewhat useful if you're ever going to go play Survivor. But if there's anything that people can take away from the lessons that we talk about in terms of how to, have success on Survivor and apply those to their everyday lives where this information, might be potentially useful, I feel like we're doing good work here.
But Rob, yes, absolutely. But this applies to everything.
Yes.
This applies to whether or not you got that job you wanted to land or whether or not you got the girl or you got the guy. I mean, if you look at it like there was a reason for this, there's something better waiting for me around the corner. This applies to everything. So, I mean, again, it's just what helps you sleep at night.
Yeah.
You just can't take it personal. I really think the main thing is you've got to have a sense of humor and be able to laugh at yourself. That makes all the difference too. And I bet you Wanda, and I can tell Wanda, we're back to Wanda now about not being able to just basically not able to get off the boat.
Yeah.
But she looks like she's got just a sweet, great, crazy, kind spirit that I guarantee you, I've never met her, but I bet it was just enough that she got to do what she got to do. And that is super cool.
Yeah. And we talk about her nonstop on a podcast all these years later. So look at her.
Yeah.
She's done it. She's done it.
And then there's Wanda. And then there's Wanda.
And then there's Wanda. All right, T-Bird. Well, this was so wonderful, T-Bird. You were fantastic as ever to go through all of this stuff with me. Congratulations on making it through all of this nonsense, T-Bird.
I loved it. Hey, listen, I've learned something. As soon as we get off, I'm getting ready to log in here. I'm going to load up a picture of the kids and with the sheet. I'm going straight to canvaspeople.com. I'm going to order that 11x14.
You're not
going
to put that worm picture into canvaspeople.com?
No, I promise.
And send it to Sarah.
I promise, Sarah. And then I'm going to put in that special RHAP code.
Worm Wednesday.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's what I'm saying right now.
Well, this was great, T-Bird. T-Bird, we've had so much fun. Who's going to win the season?
Okay. Oh, are you going to give me the final three? Are you going to give me a sample final three?
You tell me. Well, I'll just take the winner from you.
Oh, gosh. I think... there's so many. Okay. I'm going to go with either Devin. Okay. I'm going to narrow it down. Devin or Dr. Mike. And it's not because I don't think Ben, Chrissy, Ryan, and Ashley aren't strong. I just think that those two are so kind of low key that people aren't going to notice them. So, okay, I'm narrowing it down to Dr. Mike or Devin. Going with Devin.
Okay.
Devin's my pick. Who's your pick?
I feel good about Ben, but I don't know how he necessarily gets there. Like, I feel like that it's his game to lose if he can ultimately get there. But I think that, yeah, you know, these next couple episodes are really tough for him in terms of how he's going to maneuver around these couple of votes.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be a great finish. All right. Okay. So you're going with Ben. If Ben's sitting in the final with the three, with the other two, it's going to be tough for him. But I'm still, okay, I'm going with Devin.
But it's a great final six. It really is. Everybody has done something. Even Ashley, who I feel like is probably has the least airtime out of this group. She's come on and she's won two immunities in these last couple of weeks. So she's really coming into her own on the show. And everybody else has been really visible and has had like a nice story. So I think this has been a great cast. And I think this is a fun home stretch of the season, T-Bird.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having me. Thank you.
Okay, well, hold on. So follow T-Bird Cooper on Twitter, at T-Bird Cooper, and you can check out everything that's going on. No more worm tweets. Sorry, everybody. But there
or
you go.
Anything, I will send personal worm pictures, but nothing on my page. I can't do it. Sarah, Sarah and I, you know.
Yeah. What about Instagram? You do Instagram or anything like that?
Well, yes, I do Instagram.
I feel like this is a bot.
Yeah, Instagram. No, I was going to do Instagram, but I did the, I put the worm thing on Instagram. I didn't think Sarah would see it there. I hope she's not listening.
Okay, I don't think I have you on Instagram. I don't think I have you. What, are you T-Bird Cooper on Instagram also?
Yeah, I'm supposed to know that.
Okay.
Yeah, there
you
I got it.
All right. There you go. Now I follow you there on the Instagram also. The worm picture is a video.
Did you find it already?
Yeah, I got it. Hold on. The worm picture is a video. Here, let me see if I could play that real quick and see what you're talking about. Do you mind? Could I play the video?
You can play it all you want to. I hope Sarah's not watching.
Okay.
It's on you if she's watching. It's on you.
I'm cleaning out wood here on the farm, and I come across this, well, I don't know if it's a worm on steroids or if it's a baby snake. I don't know what it is, but I had to share. So, it's alive. It's alive. Anyway, just thought I'd share. Any ideas of what it is, let me know. I might not should be holding it. So, keep me posted. Have a great Monday.
I thought it was Worm Wednesday.
Well, it was. It happened. Okay, so now I know. It happened Wednesday. I took the video. 2 days later, happenstance, they had the worm challenge on Survivor with Ryan just suffering immensely. So I had to post that. That's how it went down.
Yeah,
and then
T-Bird,
from there it was Sarah.
You have a lot of videos on Instagram here. You have a very scary clown that you were hanging out with.
Yeah, that was some kind of Halloween thing. I know. I enjoyed doing those little videos.
Yeah. Oh, here's what's going on with the sheep. Hold on.
Okay.
This time of year, these precious little girls and boys are just happy not to be turkeys.
Oh, that was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was Thanksgiving morning. I got that.
I was working the sheep Thanksgiving morning. So, yeah, that's where that. See, there's somewhat of a story that when I'm doing it, but it might not make sense to you if you don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I get it. T-Bird, when you play Survivor again, then are you going to use all of these sheep analogies when you say, nobody knows what's going on? They're all like sheep like I have back on the farm following me around.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Except I'm not going to send these sheep off for breeding.
Yeah, that's right.
These sheep are going to the slaughter out here
on
Survivor.
Oh, no.
On Survivor, not the real ones.
Yeah, I don't think you want to use the word slaughter. That might not be a friendly word if you happen to make it to the fight, to the
well,
end.
But in this scenario, you're a villain on the next time.
Oh, I'm villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, a villain, absolutely. No holds barred on the villain thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. T-Bird, if only you were there with me in Survivor All-Stars, then that would have changed the whole tide for me.
Rob, now, do you think we would have been together?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think we would have aligned?
Yes. We would have been like the Chrissy and Ryan of Survivor All-Stars.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you what, because I told, you know, Monica and I talked a little bit.
Yes.
Monica Padilla.
Yeah. Yes.
Before. And then when I didn't make it, what she finally told me, Monica had all these diagrams and she had every scenario of every player. And she had strategically written, you know, have all these different, you know, if I was with this person, this person, this person. And she actually told me, she said, you know, we would have been an alliance, but she said, I would have had to have gotten rid of you toward the end. Because I couldn't have beat you. I couldn't have beat you at the end. That's what she told me. So I'd have had to have gotten rid of you. So if we were in an alliance together, you and me, and we got to the last, there was only two to sit in the finals. Would we have been the Tina and the Colby or not?
No, because nobody can beat you in the end, T-Bird. Anybody that takes you to the end with them is a fool.
So you would have ding-dong-ditched me.
Why do I want to lose?
So even though you said we're going in together, would have ding-dong, you'd have gotten rid of me toward the end.
Look, T-Bird will go far, but I didn't come all the way back out there to lose right before the finals
that's my point. If you give your word.
No votes like Steven.
So if you give your word, you're going to go back on it. You really, so I shouldn't depend that somebody's going to say no matter what.
I didn't even give you my word yet. I didn't even say final two or final three.
No, I would be locking you into that. I'd say, this is what I would say to you, Rob, we take it to the final four. At final four, all bets are off. If you get us to final four, then however we play is how we play. That's how
let's go to final four. Let's do it. Let's do it. And then hopefully, God willing, we're still there, both there at the final four.
Okay. Because see, I can make a deal like that. We get each other all the way down and then it's all bets are off. You play for yourself.
Yeah.
Now see, that would be a good deal. If you could make deals like that with people nowadays that you really trusted and you knew, okay, we're going to be loyal until we get down to final four or final five, and then whatever it takes to be sitting in that final seat is what I'm going to do, just as long as you know that.
T-Bird, my Survivor game is in the gutter. I just got to concentrate on getting through one tribal council at a time right now. That's really for me to rehabilitate my game. I just need to get through one vote.
Yeah, but see, that's...
I'm ice cold, T-Bird. I got voted out the last two tribal councils I've been to.
Well, that's crazy.
Well...
Did you have anybody giving you any advice before you went out there and played?
No.
I bet you did. And I bet you didn't take it.
Who gave me, you gave me advice?
No, I didn't. I bet somebody did.
Who?
And you did. I don't know. I'm just asking you. Did somebody give you some good advice and you didn't take it?
I'm trying to think. Do you know something that I don't know, T-Bird?
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, but you're asking very coy. You're asking very coy.
I know. I am asking coy. Okay, you just think about that.
I can't remember. I'm like you with the Worm Wednesday. I don't remember what you're talking about.
Well, I'm just wondering if you went out there and you thought, this is the way I'm going to play. But then once you get out there, you kind of get caught up in the moment and then things happen and you kind of stray and go off in another direction.
Hmm.
I don't know. Just wondering about that.
Hmm. Yeah. Are you saying that happened or not? I can't read you right now.
All right, so Rob, this is what I'm saying. I think it seems like now, because this is what I was thinking for this group playing. It seems like this group of people that are playing, and I guess it makes sense to play for all 3 days. But what I tweeted the other day is, it looks like nobody's playing for their end game. Nobody's playing to what they're going to do when they're sitting there. Although maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Ben is with his resume, the way he's doing it, with playing the same with everybody. But I kind of see what you mean, but it seems like to me, if you can start out strong, and let me give you a good example. Lex and Ethan and Tom, when they started out, they made a deal with each other.
Yeah.
On day one, they made a deal. And none of them strayed from it, which is why Big Tom wanted me to be the one to get Lex out, because he had already made a deal. So he knew he couldn't do it. He couldn't do get his hands dirty. And I didn't mind getting my hands dirty because I knew I had to get Lex out to,
But I have to say, I side with Lex on this, because I feel like that even, because that's a violation of the deal. That yes, like, don't get into technicalities. If we make a deal, we're going to the final three. Don't tell people, I'll look the other way if you take out my friend, because I can't be the person that ends up backing out of the deal.
Well, it was a technicality, but he, at that point, he had to keep him. He didn't have any choice, because, you know, but then Tom was the next one to go right after me, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was, yeah, Tom was a little sneaky, but also Big Tom knew that if Lex had been sitting there, I feel sure Lex would have won. And at that point, they wanted to, you know, Tom wanted to win, Lex wanted to win, Ethan wanted to win, blah, 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 blah.
Hell, I wanted to win. Yeah. I love Big Tom. I love Big Tom. He was so fun.
Right.
T-Bird, and you're so fun. Yes.
Thank you, Rob. I've had a great time. I got to get off the phone. Hey, how long do you think this place is open? I got to get this picture ordered. I got to get SantaPeople.com. Is SantaPeople.com a 24-hour deal?
Yeah, they don't just like turn off the website at 6. They keep it running all the time.
And how long is this offer going to be good? It's 11 by 14 at zero.
At least through the holidays. Right. I'm not sure. They don't tell me that part. But for a while, I think.
I don't think anybody should wait on this in case it closes down. But and you want to get that picture before Christmas is here so you could have it under the tree for the kids along with their check.
With their check. Okay. All right, T-Bird. Well, thank you so much. You were absolutely fantastic today. And then what do you have coming up here as we head towards the holidays? Anything good?
No, just going to do a little work. I'm flying. This is kind of a busy season with the airlines. So
yes,
doing work, but I'll be home on the farm here at Christmas. So
okay.
How about y'all?
Yeah. We're going to be busy through the Survivor finale, which is actually really late this year, the 20th. And then,
I know it.
Yeah. And then by the time I get through with Survivor, it's going to be basically Christmas. And then we're not going anywhere. We're just staying here. T-Bert, did you wish that there was a glitch that allowed you to get vacation from all of the holidays on the booking software from the airline?
Yes. You know what? My son actually started. He told me that. He's actually with Delta now. My son is. And he was telling me about that with American Airlines. So, well, I'm with Delta.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
Plug for Delta.
All right. T-Bird, I want to ask you, does anybody ever recognize you on a flight?
Occasionally they do. And I'll tell you what they recognize. They actually recognize probably my voice.
Voice.
Is what I think is the dead giveaway.
And what do they say?
Well, let's see. I had a passenger not too long ago that said, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Actually, it's not pretty cool, Rob. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Because 17 years ago, and again, the memories of playing the game and everything that came after it and all the cool, awesome people I've met. And I mean, meeting you and just being part of the Survivor family. Oh, this is going to sound so cheesy, but it's been a very, very big blessing. It's been very neat.
Yeah.
Very neat. So it makes my heart smile big when people
say it. So you like it when people
remember it.
Yeah, people say that they recognize you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe more people will do it now, T-Bird. Maybe people were just sitting there, I don't want her to be mad if I'm outing her at work.
No. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, they actually say it pretty quiet, though.
Yeah.
So then I usually get on the loudspeaker and say something. I probably shouldn't do that, should I?
What do you say
something about that? Why? No, I'm serious. That was a joke. That was my attempt at trying to be funny.
No, that was good.
That's what that was.
T-Bird, thank you. Oh, we need a hashtag. So what should the hashtag be for people? Ding Dong Ditch? Worm
Ding Dong
Wednesday?
Ditch.
Yeah.
No, let's don't do the worm thing. Let's do a hashtag. Oh, God. Robbie, always you're so good with coming up with this.
No, Ding Dong. Ding Dong Ditch. I like that. I feel like I haven't heard that in a long time.
All right. Ding Dong Ditch. All right. Now, you got to make sure that people spell it right or it's not going to be coming through right, right?
Why? How are people going to spell it wrong?
Ding. It all goes together.
Yeah.
Ding Dong Ditch. Okay. I guess people can spell Ding Dong Ditch. Okay, guys.
That makes sense. All right. Well, T-Bird, thank you so much. Okay. You have a good one. All right.
Thanks, Rob. You too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Teresa Cooper. How great was T-Bird today? Very fun to talk to, and I thought she really did a great job. Very fun and smiling the whole time talking to T-Bird today. All right, so We go from one great lady to another tomorrow when we're going to be speaking with the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Cesternino. We're going to be talking about your feedback on the voicemail show, Saturday Night Podcasting, just like how Nicole dreamed it up some 14 years ago. That's what she wanted to be doing on a Saturday night, and that is what we will be doing as we take your feedback questions after the kids go to sleep. We'll be doing all that on our next show, so we will get into that. And of course, the Wiggle Room is going to be coming your way Monday as we start to enter the home stretch of the Survivor season. Really excited about next week as well. On the podcast, we've got some great shows coming up that, of course, we will get back to a regular know-it-alls coming up as we have the final six on Wednesday night. And then I'm very excited to be joined once again by the winner of Survivor Cambodia, aka Second Chances, the great Jeremy Collins, will be back on the podcast next week. So excited to hear what Jeremy has to say about everything. And then Mike Bloom will be giving us his take on everything on the final voicemail show of the season as we enter week number 13 or episode number 13 of the Survivor season coming up in the next couple of days. If you're doing any holiday shopping this weekend, of course, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/gifts for all sorts of holiday offers from our sponsors and our links for Amazon. Always appreciated. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.